Will stand one more time, please. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, I don't know how you do it, but every Sunday, dear Jesus, we have just an on-fire prayer service, dear Lord, followed up with an amazing word from your Holy Spirit, dear Jesus. Amen. We thank you, dear Lord. We recognize that is you and your Holy Spirit alone, dear Lord. Yes. And we're asking for continual grace, dear Jesus, as Sandy begins to speak this morning, dear Lord, let the word continue to be deposited in him, dear Lord, to a point of overflow. Lord, we're praying for that overflow to reach every one of us, dear Jesus, that our cups may be full with your glory, dear Lord. Let us be excited about the word, dear Jesus, and let it continue to take root in us, dear Lord, as we learn, as we study for ourselves, dear Lord, as we praise your holy name for what you are doing through us, within us. Dear Lord, let us be a blessing to somebody else, dear Lord, while there is yet time, dear Jesus, while we have breath, dear Lord, let us continue to serve you. We thank you. We bless you today, dear Lord. Bless the speaker, dear Lord. Bless this message, dear Lord. Let us continue to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Pops, how you doing today? You blessed? Good. Excellent. How you doing, Raymond? Good. All right. My wife's passing out. You with us, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
Elohim Tov?
Kol Hasma.
Kol Hasma?
Elohim Tov.
All right. Well, praise God. Well, it's a pleasure being a pastor. And it can be heartbreaking, too. The heartbreaking thing about being a pastor is, well, the pleasure is like the people that get saved and give their life to Christ. They start coming to church and they got Bible questions and they're, you know, they're moving forward in Christ. And then you don't see them for a while and then they're living in the world. They don't believe in Jesus no more. And you just go, man, how did that happen? And it breaks your heart, you know, because even though God would love to make us robots and make us obey him and study our word and do everything we need to do to stay strong in Christ, he will not do that. Because one thing God will never take away from anybody is their free will. And we all have a free will. You can either study the word or not study the word. You can either pray or not pray. You can either go to church or not go to church. You know what I mean? The easiest thing to say is, I'm a Christian. You know, like I always say, it's really easy to just say it. But to be a participant and to be active is something completely different, okay? And God really don't want to hear you say you're a Christian. He wants to see you being a Christian. You understand? And you can't be a Christian if you're not in relationship with the person who saved you. So you can't be saying, I'm a Christian, and you don't even really speak to Jesus, but every, you know, once a month or so, you know? It's like, I don't think you're in a relationship. So I don't want to see anybody falling away from God, you know? Once was preaching, but now kicking it in the front yard, drinking beer with the homies. And I was like, wow. And then they send me the post as if I'm going to be like, hey, how's it going? Nice to see you hanging out, you know, with the fellas. I didn't hear no Jesus talk there, but you can't do that because then they go, hey, you judging me. So I'm like, God bless you. I'm praying for you like that. So anyway, all right. I had to get that off my chest because sometimes my heart gets broken. I just can't get it out of my mind. Like, what happened? So about 520 something. And the Lord had me on the side of the bed talking to me as sometimes he does. And talking to me about the other two proofs that he's given me about this coming time that we're in, about this rapture and about this date and about this 2021 almost being over and everything and how. And he the question that the Lord is like, are you guys ready? Are you really ready for God? Are you ready for change? Are you ready for what's about to happen in the world? Because if you believe in Christ Jesus, you are not supposed to be here, okay? And God wants to make sure that all of his people that say, I believe in Jesus, are taken. And it's really an appeal, not just to Christians, but everyone in the world, because you cannot believe in Jesus all the way up to a day before the rapture happens, and you can meet somebody and they can tell you about Jesus and you can accept Jesus, and guess what? You'll get to heaven and get the exact same reward as somebody who's been ministering, you know what I mean? Because heaven is heaven, right?
Beautiful.
So, you know, it's we still have opportunity to still present the gospel to people. But I'm telling you that time is running out. Yeah. Rather you believe it or not, is running out. Yeah. I'm going to show you the two proofs that God gave me through a couple of our members and friends. And one, he gave me, but then he really narrowed it down to show me how important it was. Before we do that, I'm going to be obedient, and we are going to start in the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 18. It looks like 18. You there? This is, and I'm trying to express to you God's wrath toward the world. God's wrath toward people who you say, hey, do you want to know about Jesus? Nah, I don't believe in that mess. God's wrath toward people who deny that he exists. God's wrath toward a Jesus Christ rejecting people, okay? So you have to know and understand, and God's wrath, especially to people who knew Christ and have walked away from Christ, meaning they tasted of it and then decided that the world is something that they would rather do than Jesus. God's wrath is upon you. And when this happens, I keep telling God, Lord, I can't wait for it to happen, because I know Noah was probably going through some of the worst ridicule of anybody in the world. Someone said, I am tired of waiting on the rapture. And then I said, well, you know, I'm gonna tell you this. I've been preaching it for 18 years. And I said, Noah preached it for 120, yeah. And I don't want it, when I get to heaven, Noah to call me a wimp. It's like, you preached it in time for how long? 18 years? How long did you preach it? 120 years. All right? And people talked about me for 120 years. All right? So, I am not going to be the wimp. I am going to preach until we leave, but I can't wait to leave. And it appears to me that God has shown us, you're right there.
Amen.
And all the proofs that God have given us is for Christians to wake up, backsliders to return, and for us to be joyful about the fact that life is going to change.
Amen.
There is an eternity, whether you believe in it or not.
Yeah.
So get on board. You in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, It says the wrath of God is being revealed. Okay, I got to do this. Because every time I see that reveal, now I go this 2294, which you guys don't really understand, but someone sent it to me. They said plus, plus, plus equals 17 still, Pastor Sandy. Mm. So it's like everything that the Lord has showed you is so condensed to show you that this is it, right? And I'm going to show you what else he showed me before we end today. But let me read here and try not to interrupt myself. All right. It says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Okay? So you can say, I don't believe in God. How did that sun get in the sky?
Right.
Well, when you can answer that, you can come back and tell me you don't believe in God. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Okay? Now, I want you to understand, it says it became futile and their hearts became dark. Okay? So that means at some time they were not in this state. So what happens to get a person's mind and attitude so far away from God? What happens? The world happens. Yeah. You understand? Because the world is always going to offer you life without God.
Yes.
Freedom to sin. That's what the world is offering you. And so you have to understand, they became this way, okay? Now, let's continue. Although they claimed to be wise, you guys met some of them?
Yeah.
They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men, birds, animals, and reptiles. Now, those are idols, but God says, remind them that anything that comes before God is your idol. Okay, so if there's something that you can't find time for God because this takes up more time, that's really your idol. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
So understand this. We are here. Let's continue. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Okay? Now he's talking about fornication there. Okay? Now, like last week I read, some people have made fornication a little white sin. But I read last week that while they were walking through the wilderness, because of fornication, in one day God dropped 23,000 of them. Okay? And I'm sure Moses went and warned them and said, look, if you find somebody you want to marry, get to know them and marry them, but you can't be doing that. You know, we're trying to make it to the promised land.
Right.
Okay? But what we have is a system that makes sin appear to us to be less harmful than we think. Okay? But God doesn't change. Right. It's like, this is how I made things. I made things to work perfectly the way I made them. Okay? Let's continue. Okay? And it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relationship for unnatural ones.
In the same way, the man abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. I want, if anyone says to you anything about homosexuality not being a sin, just take them to right here. Just say, just read that and tell me what you think God thinks about it. Because after it says this, this is said what it says. It says, men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves due penalty for their perversion. Okay? So God calls it perversion. In the Old Testament, he calls it an abomination.
Yeah.
And it's an abomination because it can never produce God. Okay? We used to do that study, right, Pastor Ben?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I do this?
Please.
Watch this. Okay? This is how you write.
What are you writing, Pastor?
Huh?
What are you writing?
I'm writing man and woman. And ish. Okay. This is how you spell woman in Hebrew. Okay? Ish. Isha. This is how you spell man. Ish. Okay? Let's take the letter out of man that woman doesn't have, that is yod, and take the letter that woman has that man doesn't have, that is hey. And what is that? Yah. So a man and a woman can come together and produce God. Okay? But, so if you have two men together, they can never produce God. So God made it that way. So God calls it an abomination because it can't produce anything. It can't produce God. You understand? So only, now, the other word for this is fire, female fire, and male fire. Okay? And so God wants you to know that only thing that fire can do is burn things up and destroy things. So the only way you can have a relationship with a man and a woman can have a relationship that's going to be sustainable is that they have to have God in the middle of it, or else it'll just be two fires always destroying. Everywhere they go, destroying. Destroying kids' lives, destroying homes, destroying neighborhoods, calling the cops. Everything's crazy, and you can't figure out why you can't get along. It's because both of you are supposed to have God as your center. And then as you God is your center, then you have no destruction going on there, right? Bush burning, and it didn't burn up. Why? God was speaking. He was in the middle, so it couldn't burn up. Four men in a fiery furnace. They couldn't be burned because they said there's a fourth guy walking around there. Looked like the Son of God. So the fire couldn't burn him. So wherever God is, you can't have destruction. This is why I'm trying to encourage people. Have God in your life, because when God's in your life, it's going to produce the goodness of God in your life. When he's not centered, you're going to get destruction. And so anyway, that was just a small commercial, and we're going to continue on.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. Let me make sure I'm not. Okay, men commit. Okay, verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what they ought not to be, what ought not to be done. Now, how did they get to the point of having a depraved mind? Huh? What? He tells you right before. It says, furthermore, they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. That's how it got to a depraved mind. I don't think it's worthwhile to read my Bible. I don't think it's worthwhile to talk about God. I don't think it's worthwhile to pray.
Man.
So he says, because they considered that the word of God was not worth their while to retain it. Because he says retain. Retain means what? You had it at one time.
Yeah.
But you didn't think it was worthwhile to retain it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think I stay full in it because, you know, my jar is just so full. I'm completely every day regenerating myself in the word of God, in prayer, because I realize that this fight is a fight for your life.
Yes.
Yes. And I've seen people stand in pulpits, preached, and then I see them 5 years later, and I'm like, what happened? They did not think it was worth their while to retain the knowledge of God, to retain that relationship. Okay? So understand that retaining the knowledge of God, keeping your oil filled, is very important so that you don't have a depraved mind. Okay? And it says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, every evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent. Insolent means rude, showing people no respect. Arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteousness, the righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, and that's thanatos, which means eternal flames, they not only continue to do those things, do the very things, but approved of those who practice them. Okay? So this is the mentality of people that get away from God. And this is the mentality of people who do not think it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Okay? It takes effort to be a Christian.
Yes.
Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
It takes effort.
Yes.
Amen. Ain't nobody waking up I just grew in Christ. I don't know what happened. I just grew in Christ. No reading, no prayer, no fellowship. Just one day I woke up and bam, there I was, a mature Christian. It don't happen like that.
Amen.
You have to work at this. You understand?
Yeah.
You have to put some effort into it. And look, me and Drea's relationship, 27 years. Oh, it just fell into our laps. We worked on our marriage. I had to learn when to be quiet. She had to learn when to be quiet. You know what I mean? We had to learn to be, because we started, she was 23, I was 32. And women mature faster, so basically we were the same age. So I'm telling you, it takes a lot to have success at anything, and Christianity is one of them. You have to put some effort into it, okay? Praise God.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to go to the next thing that the Lord showed me. Here we go. They have notes with them today?
They do.
That is nice. Pastor Ben, I told Pastor Ben, you don't have to do it for everybody. He will always. Now, I want us to go to Acts chapter 2 real fast, okay? Acts chapter 2. And we're gonna be at verse 14, okay? Now, when I do this, I'm gonna give you one of the great proofs that God gave me that we're right on point, okay? Remember, the day that Ezekiel was about to get taken up, you know what everybody kept saying? You know the Lord's gonna take your master today? It was like they knew, right? I want you guys to know, understand that God is trying to warn the world. He's done everything he could to let you know what's going on, right?
Right.
2020 was to wake you up.
Right.
2020 wasn't to give you hope of a revival. It was to wake you up to let you know God is coming, okay? So all of these things that have been going on in the world is God saying, and then while all this is going on, we've got the earthquake, I mean, you name whatever disaster, they've been happening all over the world, right? The Afghanistan thing, God's trying to wake you up, okay? God's been trying to wake people up to let them know it's time, it's time, it's time, okay? But if you don't want God, that's what you do is what you'll do. Okay, here we are. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. It says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Okay? Because they're seeing all these people speaking in tongues, and they're like, these men are drunk. This is the day of Pentecost, right? So it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Me and God was having fun with this morning. He goes, did I say your sons and your daughters will prophesy? Okay, then why can't preachers women speak? Why can't women preach in church? Huh? If he said your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, then he should have said your sons will prophesy in church and your daughters will have to do it in women's groups only.
Right. Uh-oh.
But I'm just telling you the foolishness that happens to churches over people who want to control people. You understand? We'll continue. Okay, and it says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy on men and women. So the Holy Spirit's been given. So you mean if, Pastor Ben, if your wife has a word of God and she wants to speak, she can't speak because she's a woman?
Ain't no days like that.
Huh? I'm just telling you, we all grew up in a lot of foolishness of people who wanting to control people. You understand?
Yeah.
God is saying to every Christian, it's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to see what's going on.
Right.
Nobody can heal people by waving their jacket over them and making a whole crowd fall on the ground and shake and shiver. There's some sorcery going on there.
Yeah.
You understand?
Man.
So wake up from the church thing.
Amen.
Okay, I
Amen.
Church almost killed me, I said. I used to say. I said church almost killed me because I was ready to go and be the best Muslim I can because of church.
Yep.
You understand? Because you know a show and what's real, especially if you grew up in L.A.
Yes, sir.
You like, this is a show.
Amen.
It's a hustle. Okay?
It's a hustle.
Let's go. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood red before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. We're going to go back to that. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, that's when you got to study. Okay, I don't care if you're King James or whatever you are. You've got to study that because that Greek word has nothing to do with you going, Jesus, save me. Do you know that? It's the word in Greek, epikleo, which means to take the surname of someone. Okay? So called is a verb that means that Drea was a Paris when she met me, and then she took on my name, Armstrong, because we're married. So everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, that means you got to accept what he did and be walking out your salvation, okay? Because what? This is a verb, which means that you have taken on Jesus in a marriage. and you're actively in a marriage with God, you've taken on his surname. You understand? You're no longer you. You are Mrs. He. You understand? Or you are Mr. He, or whatever you are, when you're all brides. I guess we all misses when we all brides. But none of you get to keep your last name because you're marrying God.
Amen.
Okay? Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved if you've taken on his name.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't just be run outside and go, Jesus, help me. I called on his name. He didn't save me. You never believed. Or you ran outside and said, I'm a Christian. I called on him. No, you didn't believe. You didn't walk that thing out. You weren't living that thing. You understand? Because I'm telling you, if you're not watching and you're not and you don't wake up, you can play church all the way to hell. You can do it all the way to hell because you can tell yourself, I'm okay. I'm not as bad as so and so. Or I'm not really a bad person. I just keep falling into sin. Okay? And like the singer said, if you keep falling into sin, it's because Satan knows, okay, he learns from your mistakes. And you don't have to learn from them. Because if you don't learn, I'll just keep jabbing you in the face. If you never learn how to block a punch, I'll just keep jabbing you in the face. So eventually you got to learn from your mistakes and grow in Christ, right? Because Satan is watching you. You understand?
Yeah.
He hasn't given up on anybody in this room. And that means Pastor Ben, me, you, everybody. He hasn't given up on any of us.
Anybody.
You understand?
Amen.
He still thinks, I can get him to fall if I just, you give me a little time. Okay? But your determination has to be, I'm going to stand my word. I think it's right to obtain the word of God and to retain the word of God in my spirit, in my soul.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay, now we're going to go back up here where it says the sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord. So look at your notes, okay? Okay, so I'm at the football game, I think with Ryan, and I think it was December 4th, and everybody was talking about, oh, it's going to be a solar eclipse today. It's going to be a solar eclipse today. And we were there that night, and people were saying, oh, that eclipse, something happened. Look at the moon, or look at it, or what's going on, right? So we were all talking about the lunar eclipse that happened in November, and then 14 days later, they were having a solar eclipse, okay? So the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light before the great and terrible day of the Lord, right? Now, what day does this year end? April 2nd. Why is it 120 days from December 4th, the total eclipse, to April 2nd? Why is it, concluding the day that it happens, it's 120 days until April 2nd? Okay, so maybe it means nothing, or maybe it means in the 120th day, this is when the judgment. See, in the 120th year, the flood began. So I was asking God, like, how are you going to do the 120th thing? Because we didn't leave in the 120th year. But 120th days after this event, the moon turns, the blood moon, and the eclipse happens. 120 days later is April 2nd, okay? Nissan first. I don't know why it works out perfectly that way, but I'm just saying it's something to look at, okay? Now, I want to show you one other thing. Turn to the next page. And who am I thinking? And I think her name is Hado Taylor. She sent me that guy's YouTube so I can watch it. Very interesting because he does everything according to the stars, and he's like, Jupiter is going to be moving into Pisces on the 31st of March. Jupiter is the king god, Pisces is the 153 fish. So all this stuff he was saying that was happening, but the most important thing he said was this eclipse and this thing happened is going to be exactly 120 days till Nisan first. So I'm just saying it's something to look at. Now, the other thing is I want to make an apology to the young lady who asked the class on Thursday. She said, how can 68 be Shuv return when the Shin is 300? And so I was like, how did I get Shuv out of 68? Because this is the what the problem is, you guys. On July 28th, 1914, World War I started. July 28th, 1914, World War I started. So if you look at that, you'll see that it's the 28th, 7, and 19, and 48 equals 68, okay? Now, that is the first world war that started, and on the Hebrew calendar, it was the 9th of Av. So World War I started on the 9th of Av. What happened on the 9th of Av? The first Jewish temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. The second Jewish temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. The spies that explored the land came back with a bad report on the 9th of Av. So everything that happens that is about to affect Israel is going to happen on the 9th of Av because it's a cursed day. The Afghanistan thing happened when? On the 9th of Av, right? So you guys got to understand that. So that means this first world war had the value of 68, and God knew it was going to start on that day because the 9th of Av is a biblical date, right? Okay. So then World War II starts on January 9th, 1939. So you got the 1, the 9, 19, and 39, 68. So both world wars had the numerical value 68. God's trying to talk to you. The invasion in Ukraine happened on 24/2/2022. 24 plus 2 plus 20 plus 22, 68. So that means God already knows it's a world war. God already knows what they're trying to pull off, which is what we're telling you. They're advertising, and now your president, and I keep saying your because he ain't mine, he's saying that he's a war criminal, he's a evil person. He's saying all this concerning, and then he goes to NATO and to unite NATO to say we've got to do something about to help the Ukrainian people. Of course you do. You're pushing for a world war, and this is all happening in perfect timing because the church is about to leave, yes. And the world war is going to produce the Antichrist.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, he did. Okay, now, so I'm looking at 68 because I told it says Shuv, which is return or repent. And I'm like, how did I come up with that? So I'm looking and trying to search my notes, nothing. I look up 68, nothing. So I said, well, what is 68? So then the Lord said to me, remember the problem you had with 296. Because 296 was the rock, okay? And I was like, okay, now if the rock equals 888, we'll know that the rock is Jesus. And so I looked up the rock and it was 296 and I was like, ah. And then God said, times it times three, it's the Trinity. So I times this times three, 296 times three was 888, which is Jesus. Then I said, okay, now it works out. I'm doing the same thing with this. And I get, Lord, I can't find nothing with 68. And he said, times it times three. Times it times three is 204. Do we have a third page, Pastor Lee? Okay. Here, it's right above. It's right above. Look, you see right underneath it? It is the word in Greek, harpazo. So 68 times 3 is rapture. Okay? And remember, God knew the first war was going to start, and God knew the second war was going to start, and God is telling you this is a world war, and he says put all three, 68, 68, 68 together, and it's going to have 204, which is the word rapture, harpazo, in Greek. Okay? So I'm sitting on the side of the bed, and the Lord is like, I'm continually giving the world proof that this event is going to happen. Because human beings have a problem with anything outside of their natural realm.
Yep.
Even though everybody outside of your natural realm knows that you live in an inferior environment.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
Everybody in hell wishes they could be back on earth. And everyone in heaven are glad they're not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand, your physical realm is not your eternal reality, no matter how much you want to believe in it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It'd be better to get saved than to win the lottery.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
I'm saying everybody in heaven would tell you that. It's better if you got saved than win the lottery. Because if you win, you got 20, 30, 40 more years left, and then you're going to die or whatever, and you're still going to have colds and troubles and blah, 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 and this. And it says, but you get born again, you get eternal life, and you get to be with us.
Amen.
You understand? So God's reality is where you're going, okay?
Yeah.
Now, so those were the two proofs that God wanted to give me this morning. And now I want to go to Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, and I'm not going to read all of this, okay, but. Ooh, that is good. Watch this. In verse 4, it reads like this. It says, brother, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be harpazo, 68, together with them in the cloud to meet with the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You hear that? So that's God's words, and he's telling you what's going to happen. Okay? You might not believe him, but he's been right about, I guess, a thousand or so times in scriptures, right? Every prophecy has come true. So the world always wants you to think of this as being it. You understand? But God is trying to tell you it's not it. People who have lived for Christ before you have died, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're still waiting on their resurrected bodies. You're going to get your resurrected body on the same day you get brought up. You understand?
Amen.
Something they're waiting on.
Amen.
But now in chapter 5, listen what it says. Now, brethren, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, last week we read, he had been aware that someone was going to break into his house, his house would not have been broken into.
Amen.
That means if he was watching, this event wouldn't have happened.
Amen.
A thief cannot sneak upon you if you're watching.
Amen. That's right.
With a shotgun in the window. Right? But I'm letting you know,
amen,
our job is to watch.
Amen.
This is why Satan makes it so popular among Christians to say, well, nobody knows the day and hour, so I don't think about the Jesus coming or nothing. I'm just I'm just trying to be the best Christian I can. I hate when people start talking to me about the rapture, because then they start talking about we're going to leave, and then, you know, now I got to think about, you know. So it's like, it kind of irritates them. Like, you can talk about anything else, but please don't talk about the rapture. But yet the Bible is all about a marriage that's going to happen between Jesus and the church. But you can't talk about that. Why? Because they don't want this to be the topic. You can't talk about hell too much. If you're a pastor and you start telling them about the reality of hell, people get uncomfortable. Because nobody wants to think about other people suffering and they can't get out. But it's a reality that God wanted you to know.
Yes.
There are people there that wish that they had the opportunity that you have, which is to live for God. Okay? This is a wonderful pleasure to be on earth with Jesus.
Yes.
So watch what it says here. It says, while people are saying peace and safety, what have they been saying at the UN? Peace and safety. Destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Who's in darkness in here? Nobody, right? So that this day should surprise you like a thief. So if you're in Christ, the coming of Jesus should not be a surprise to you. You should know that he's coming. You should know that there's a rapture.
Yes.
You should know that this is about a wedding. You should know these things.
Yes.
So if you don't know and you're not watching, you're what you're doing is you're telling Jesus, I'm not going to do that. Watch and pray. Nope. I'm going to go to church and be concerned about my life. I don't feel like watching for your coming. I'm going to just live my life. Well, I've been disappointed so many times, I just don't want to think about Jesus coming no more. So I'm going to stop watching. Satan is like, oh, that's excellent. Because the moment you stop thinking about heaven and start thinking about earth, I can switch your heart to this being more important than that.
Yep.
Because his main thing is, I want to get your focus off of God and onto earth.
Yeah.
So the Lord was like telling me this morning, people who don't watch, non-watchers, are in disobedience. You're in disobedience because you're doing the opposite of what God told you to do. Now, God is merciful because he knows that Luciferians have taken over both most churches. So most people are in their churches doing the best they can, and they can only hear what they want to hear because the pastor is only going to give them what that denomination allows them to give to them. And I know, because I spoke at a church at Diamond Bar, and I told him I wanted to talk about the rapture, and he says, we don't allow that at our church, but if you have another subject, we'd love to have you come speak. I said, I can't talk about the rapture? He says, no, that's like taboo. Everybody, because people don't know pre-trib, post-trib, and it just starts arguing. So we don't want to talk about Jesus coming. But I went and spoke to church, and I spoke a nice Joel Osteen message and walked up out of there. And God said, don't you ever do that again. Just say no, I can't speak at your church. If I can't talk about Jesus coming, I'm not going to speak at your church. Okay. It was a friend, and I was trying to do a friend thing, but God was not pleased. Because if you're in a place where his truth can't be spoken, don't go there.
Right. Amen.
The last thing.
10 minutes.
Okay. The last thing that the Lord gave me. Oh, here it is. It's Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. So is that crazy? It's going to be exactly 120 days on Nisan 1st since the total solar eclipse happened December 4th. Is that? Okay. You guys in Luke chapter 17, verse 22. And it says, then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, there he is, or here he is. Do not go running after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like lightning, which flashes lights up in the sky from one end to the other. You hear that? So when Jesus returns, everybody's going to know it. Someone sent me a study this morning, and the guy said, 5 reasons why people should be talking about end times. And the whole thing was about the return of Christ. What's the Luciferian thing? Teach them about the return of Christ, because he's coming. Who's coming? Antichrist. Antichrist is coming. Don't worry, we got 46,000 churches that are teaching the return of Christ with no rapture. So when he returns, we're going to tell our congregation, he's here, go there and see him. He's here, go there and meet him. And we'll deceive many, saying what? The Christ has returned. If Christ returns before the rapture, he ain't Christ.
Amen.
You understand? I'm trying to get you to let you know to understand. Everybody that talks about end time prophecy is not talking about rapture and the second coming after. They're talking about the coming of Christ to bring a world government together and to reset the economy and bring a utopia among people. That's the Christ they're talking about. And for 3.5 years, that's what he's going to be doing. Bringing it all together as one, letting everyone think that, hey, Christ is back. And God says, if it happens that way, don't you believe it? And I'm talking to non-believers now, because I'm telling you, when he gets here, he's going to appear as if he's the Christ. He might even come on a white horse with a crown on his head to conquer, like Revelation chapter 6, right? So understand, rapture, second coming, when he comes back, you're coming back with him. So you don't have to ask, where is he? I don't know who he is, because I was behind him on a horse when he was in front of me. Okay, let's continue. It says, verse 25, it says, but first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, the days of Noah, he said 120 days and it's going to happen, right? 120 years is going to happen. I'm just wondering about a solar eclipse 120 days before Nisan first. I'm just wondering about that. Okay? It says people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting, building. But the day that Lot left Sodom, what happened with Lot first? He left Sodom. Understand, God's like, ain't nothing happening till you get out of here. Is that what the angels told Lot? We can't do nothing till we get you up out of here. He says the day of God is going to be the same. They're trying to have a world war. You won't let them. Do you understand that? They got it on TV. They got the whole world mad at Putin. He's a devil. You see what he's doing? They had a little girl singing the the national anthem of Ukraine while she's in the hospital because she had just had been a part of an explosion. And they aired that thing, and I mean, you couldn't watch it without crying. I'm sitting there crying like, God, I know what they're doing. I know propaganda, but this is sad. But we understand they're getting everybody ready to say, we have to do something. And God's like, you ain't doing nothing until I get my people out of here. You understand? So it's coming. It says, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, selling, planting, building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this in the day the Son of Man is revealed. There go that number again. Revealed, because this is what this is. Revealed, judgment, and the door open for the Gentiles. You understand? So he's about to be revealed. He's about to show himself. Okay? The door is about to open. He's about to blow the trumpet. You're about to hear the voice. We can't go over everything that God has shown us. But we need to know 1948 happened. But it was written in Genesis. 1968, they got Jerusalem back. But it was written in 2 Kings. The 73rd verse after Deuteronomy 30 verse 5, which is the rebirth of Israel, 73 years after is 2021, which tells us what? If only they knew this was the latter end. 2021, the scripture in 2021 says, if only you knew this is the latter end. He says, they are a foolish nation, but if only they knew this is the end. Okay, but it's the 2021 verse, okay? I'm saying God is like, I've done too much to get people ready for them to still not be watching and not be ready and not repenting and understand what's going on right now, okay? Amen. 7 years after that, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 36, you have the conquering of Jesus over the enemies of God. And in the next verse, he says, now who's their rock? Who's their protection now? Amen. After he comes back, now who's their protection? So all the scriptures are lined up to tell you this is the year that's going to happen. This is the year that's going to happen. This Psalms tells you this is going to be the middle of the tribulation. This is going to be the end of the tribulation. So God is like, I've given people more than enough information for them to gain life.
Amen.
And for Christians to be walking away from Christ or to be confessing Christ and still living in sin, it's crazy. It's crazy. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because somewhere there's a divide that happens somewhere that they stop doing something, and the Lord let me know this morning, they don't think it's worth their while to retain the knowledge of God, so they fall into depravity. I don't think it's worth my while to go to church. That's not worth my while. You know what I mean? It takes too long to get there. Got to sit there. Can't do that. I'm just not going to go. Well, let's read our Bible. Well, my show's on. Well, let's pray. Well, I want to go do something. I'm tired. And if Satan can get you to do that for 2 weeks. Okay, fellas, good time to move in now. She ain't ate in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, good to go.
Just tell her anything, she'll believe it, right? So those were the other two proofs that God gave me. I'm sitting on the edge of the bed this morning, and I said, Lord, well, if it don't happen, you know, it's just gonna be embarrassing again. He said, watch this. The Lord said, you think it wasn't embarrassing for me to be on a cross when everybody expected me to be a king?
That's what the Lord told me. He said, you think it wasn't embarrassing to be on a cross, suffering, when everybody thought I was going to be king? A lot of people said, I told you he wasn't the Christ. I told you he wasn't the Messiah. If he was the Messiah, he would have taken over the Roman government and he would be ruling right now, because that's what Christ came for. You guys believed in a false God. So God said, no, I ain't worried about your embarrassment. You do what I tell you to do.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm trying to tell you, get ready, because when it happens,
amen,
when it happens, I'm going to be the most dancingest person ever, because to me, that's it for me. That's the ultimate for me, okay? And the crazy thing is, the ultimate for God is to see his church in heaven. All of the first five books tell us what? Because of one verse, all five books tell us what? The first five books is about 153, the church, the 153 fish that got brought forth, right? Which Jupiter is moving into Pisces March 31st. Y'all don't understand that?
Amen. Amen.
The king planet is moving into the
Amen.
Water.
Amen.
Okay. So, and then the second thing that the first five books tell us is 71, which is what? The Holy Spirit. The third thing it tells us about is what? 153. 888, Jesus. The one verse that made it all fall together was what? After the pandemic. Without finding that one verse, all of that don't flow. You understand?
Amen.
So did God hide that one verse until this very time to say, oh, put this in there, Sandy, because these were supposed to be two separate verses. Put this in there. What's this verse? After the pandemic, that's a verse? That was a verse. It's supposed to be by itself. Check every ancient Hebrew text and you'll see that's a separate verse. But in your King James, they added it to another verse to make you have one less verse than you're supposed to have. So separate it and then I'll do it over. Oh, now it's about Jesus, the church, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And what's the scripture say? After the pandemic. Numbers chapter 20, yeah, chapter 25, verse, yes, it's supposed to be 19, but they only have 18 in your book, and then they put the other one in the next book, so as to, and just added it to the beginning of the next verse, so, but God said, no, separate it. What does the verse say? After the pandemic. Really? And you help, you let me find it when? After the pandemic. Okay, thank you, Lord. my bags are packed. I'm done. Let me.
All right, praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Drew, you're done.